Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this morning, we turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll be looking at the whole of the chapter as we continue to look at King Solomon. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be counted or numbered. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be any arise like you after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." But the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This son is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.'" Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and said, "O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him." And the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him." So the king answered and said, "Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother." And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. As we open this passage this morning, we are reminded of the wonder of the wisdom which God gives Solomon. This passage, especially that last part, is so well known that it's almost passé. say in our culture today. And yet at that same time, the wisdom of Solomon cannot be overestimated. It is the gift of God, the wisdom which God gives Solomon, and he, through this wisdom, provides for his people Israel. And as we look at this passage, we see that Solomon seeks wisdom. He doesn't seek earthly greatness. He doesn't seek the things of this world. He seeks to serve God in leading his people. And so that's what we want to look at in this passage this morning. We see that God renders great honor to his servant who seeks wisdom instead of earthly greatness. God renders great honor to his servant who seeks wisdom instead of earthly greatness. In the first three verses, we see that Solomon seeks the Lord. In verses 4 through 15, we see that Solomon asks for wisdom. And then in verses 16 through 18, we see that the application of wisdom is not just for those whom we think are moral. So first of all, we see Solomon seeks the Lord. We have an underlying folly going on here that we need to understand. He has a treaty immediately with the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. He marries Pharaoh's daughter. This was against God's commandments. They were not to go back to Egypt to seek strength out of Egypt. They were to trust in the Lord. And we have to understand something further here. This shows at the very beginning of Solomon's reign the weakness that Solomon had for women. And women would be the death of his reign if we look at 1 Kings 11 verses 4 through 11. For so it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. And we read in verse 11, "Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant." And this, we remember, is when the problems really start for Israel with the kingdom of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And so we already see in this passage the feet of clay, if you will, that Solomon has, the weakness that he has. Yet at that same time, Solomon is certainly seeking after the Lord at this time. The people of Israel are not unified in the worship of God because there is no central place. Well, really, there is. There's supposed to be. And Solomon goes there to Gibeon in this passage. And yet at that same time, the people were worshiping God in every high place. We read that. And so they're, for the most part, worshiping God, but not at the temple, nor even at the tabernacle. They were worshiping in all different places. We read in Deuteronomy 12, 13, and 14, "Take heed to yourself that you do not offer burnt offerings in every place that you see, but that in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you." And we have to understand that God is very particular about his worship. Sadly, today, worship has become anything and everything that we think is cool for being in church. And this is very dangerous. Yet despite this, we see that Solomon is seeking after the Lord. Solomon, we read, loves the Lord. He walks in the statutes of his father David. He walks in David's statutes. I want to take just a moment on this. How David taught him to live. Notice that this is not directly in God's statutes. True wisdom is not in what man, even a good man, teaches. It is based in what God says. God has to say again and again to Solomon, "If you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Later on in this passage, that's from verse 14. And he says that a number of times through Solomon's life. And yet we read here, Solomon weakens David's statutes in that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. And so he's not being fully true to God all the way through here. And yet Solomon does very wisely. He asks for wisdom from the Lord. Solomon goes to Gibeon, to the right place, to the great high place, to the tabernacle, and he goes and he offers 1,000 burnt offerings. Very commendable, very wise to seek the Lord as he is becoming king, as he is settling into the kingship of Israel. And the Lord appears in a dream and says, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon asks for wisdom to judge God's people. Solomon knows how wondrous God's mercy to his father David had been. Solomon says that David had continued in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart. Yet Solomon's words here would stand in witness against him later when his heart was turned away. He knew that God had been with David because David had been true to the Lord. And so Solomon witnesses that God had given David a son to sit on his throne. And Solomon is very humble about his place as king. He says, I'm but a child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And so he says, I want wisdom to lead God's people. This is very important. Solomon doesn't say my people. He knows whose people he is leading. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. God's people, not man's people, not some king's people, the people of Israel, or perhaps today the people of the United States. We are to be in service of God, and Solomon understands that. And so he prays for wisdom. 2 Chronicles 1 verse 10, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? And God gives then not only wisdom, but the other things which Solomon might have sought. Solomon desires to please God. Jesus said, Matthew 6 verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What do we need? God supplies those needs. And so God's gifts far exceed just wisdom. We understand how rich Solomon was, as we read in 1 Kings 10:27. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores, which are in the lowland. And so Solomon, having asked, receives not only wisdom that he asks for, but he receives the greatness, the long life, the different things that man might seek, because God blessed him and God was pleased with his desire to lead his people in wisdom. And so Solomon rejoices and he worships God. He awakes from the dream and Solomon worships again before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offers burnt offerings, peace offerings. He makes a feast for his servants to the glory of God. And then we see an application of this wisdom as we look at these women. We must understand the wonder of Solomon's wisdom as he applies it even to the lowest, to the ugliest situations in his kingdom. We see he has brought a problem by two harlots, a story of very twisted wickedness, one with a dead child who steals her roommate's child, arguing over whose child is dead and whose child is alive, we read here. And Solomon, of course, we well know, says, cut the child in half. A very sad situation, and yet Solomon, a man, understands a mother's love. And I think that's something we really need to take a moment to understand. Solomon understands a mother's love. He understands mankind. And if we look at Proverbs, we see how much he really does understand of mankind. And so Solomon says, cut the child in half. And of course, the real mother says, let him go to the other woman then. I don't want it dead. And the other woman says, no, cut him in half. Then neither one of us has a child. And we see then Solomon's wisdom demonstrated for us in this passage. And Solomon's wise judgment is then told. Solomon's judgments and his wisdom were legendary, even as we know, heard by the Queen of Sheba far, far away. She comes to hear Solomon's wisdom. God renders great honor to his servant who seeks wisdom instead of earthly greatness. We are to seek after the wisdom of God. And James says that if we lack wisdom, we are to ask God of it, and he will give it without reproach. We are to seek wisdom, not wisdom of this earth, but wisdom for eternity in Jesus Christ alone. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the Internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS. Or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.